Take three. It's Warm Beer in the Cheap Seats live on a Friday night. I'm Casey. I'm with Big Mike, Sweet Melissa. Big Ed will be joining us. Did I mention it's Friday night?
It's Friday night, everybody. It's Big Mike coming at you with Casey, Sweet Melissa, Big Ed. Hey, we got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm going to say it for the third time. Three times is a charm.
Yes.
Subway Slam. Maybe.
When in doubt, reset the Wi-Fi, and you can hear the Wi-Fi running so crispy, you hear pick up chimes
from Big Ed's house.
Big Ed. Big Ed, what's going on, bud?
Yeah, maybe not.
All right. Those chimes are there.
We got naked ladies riding around in golf carts.
Yes.
We got the NFL opener last night.
Yes.
We have...
All right, first off, I called this. Trae Young is at SmackDown. I said this guy belonged in wrestling. I called this months ago. I called this during the playoffs. Mm-hmm. They're at Madison Square Garden. And the last time, he might get in the ring. He's going to knock someone out. Anyways.
There we go.
Hey,
yeah. Hey, Big Ed, there you go.
It only took three times for us to get this.
Yeah, I know. It sounds much better.
Yeah, we just had to reboot the Wi-Fi. Yeah. You know, sometimes, you know, when in doubt, reset power.
Technologies are folly sometimes.
Yeah.
So here we are.
Hey, NFL's back.
Yep.
Buccaneers undefeated.
So far.
Beat them Cowboys.
Pretty good game. I fell asleep in the fourth quarter.
It was pretty good.
It was a good game. It was a competitive game.
It went down to the last minute. It was great.
Yeah. So I think as far as what, you know, the network wanted, they got. They kept people's eyes on the game. Nobody tuned out. I don't believe it kept most everybody engaged. So, good start. A little bit of fanfare. How about was it me or what? They had a lot of people as far as commentators, and you know, just a lot. You had.
Oh, just before the show?
Before the show, yeah.
Yeah. They had a lot of people.
A lot of people. I think too many. A little over.
Actually, I'll tell you something. Hey, and rarely do I critique the NBC sports coverage. Generally, I'm pretty kind to them. When they did that flyover, they totally missed it. Oh, they pointed a camera at something with a red blinking light, and then they went to camera two that just had the sky. Oh. And then you hear, vroom.
Yep.
I'm like, well, hey, guys, you knew there was going to be a flyover. Let's see what it is. As a guy that loves aviation, I wanted to see what it was. I just saw a blinking red light, and then I heard a sound effect of something fucking flying over Raymond James Stadium.
That's all you got. That's what you got last night.
A quality production, guys. Was Dick Ebersol? Hope had someone's ass over that bullshit. I mean, what was it?
Could have been a Cessna, for all we know. I agree. I noticed the same thing. I'm like, what are we looking at?
Oh yeah. All you saw with like the collision lights.
Right.
That was really good. So I'm sure somebody got their ass cheat for that one.
Yeah, but you saw what I was talking about, right? Like,
yeah.
I was
like, well, they're like, that could have been Cessna 172.
You had a guy just pointing his camera at the black sky. You're like, well, that's not a good camera shot. Like, first off, why did we even cut to that camera? You know, they're all sitting in a truck to figure out, you know, production crew, like, hey, we got camera one, go to camera four, go to camera six. You know, that's what they're doing. Or at least, you know.
They're like, you idiot, that was the Dulles 1412 coming in, you know?
Yeah, I mean, if this was
737.
Hey, I mean, if there was an episode of Sports Night, Dana was going to get on someone's ass over that one.
Oh, yeah.
I have an inside source telling me that Mama Di also agrees with you guys.
About what?
The missing the flyover.
Well, she could go on the message board. Her finger's broken? Can't. Oh, she can't? Oh, sorry.
We got to fix that for her one day. Somehow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
That's all right. I don't really feel like listening to fucking Canada tonight anyway. What do you think of our chancellor? I think he's a cocksucker. Next question, please.
Yeah. No, that's someone else.
That was our Canadian message board member who wanted to come and talk politics. Yeah, no thanks. We'll pass. And then what do we have for and don't get me wrong. Hey, message board people, message us. Yeah. And then we had another guy.
Yeah, message board people.
What was the guy?
Well, he wanted to call in the middle of a segment. Right. Like, you know, like we're running a bit, you know. Like, hey,
We're fucking funny. Leave us be.
Yeah.
We're fucking hilarious.
Hey, George Carlin, you're funny. I'm going to come up on stage with you and just talk to you while you're doing your whole bit about, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to smash a pumpkin on stage. That's funny, right?
Smashing pumpkins, baby.
No, well, that's Gallagher.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Who wants to see that fucking
dramatic?
Yeah.
No, it's slow dramatic.
Yes, slow dramatic. Yeah, I can help you with that, sir.
Yeah. It's your fucking cock-o-matic. Get out of here. Fire. Oh yeah, that's a thing.
Don't mess with the cock-o-matic.
Oh, hey, Big Ed, you would appreciate this. Maybe we're gonna hang tight on this. I think we got a live. Is this our special guest?
Maybe not.
It's usually Boston clam chowder. I just can't remember if it's the red or the white.
Yeah.
Well, the red is not Boston. That would be New York
style. Oh, no, New England clam chowder.
New England is white.
Manhattan. Yeah.
Manhattan is red.
There you go.
If it comes under the heading of clam chowder,
I think we lost our caller. Hold on. Oh, wait, we're going to try
it again.
All right. Caller, we're going to send you an invite. So just stand by.
Stand by to stand by.
Just, you know, pay attention to that little phone in front of you and just tap the little button.
And
we're back.
And we're back. you know what? You might have to make sure depending on how you're set up, you might have to have a plug-in microphone. I don't know. Unless you're on an iPhone, then maybe not.
I don't think you have to on an iPhone. Because I did it.
Yeah, you didn't.
I even did it from the car. One episode.
Oh, yeah, I know. Because I heard all the other cars around you.
Oh, did you? it added
That was the night you were chasing down Kyle Busch and Chrysler.
I was chasing Kyle. Yeah.
And then
Kyle Busch made a quick turn onto pit road, going to the garage area and hit some cones and almost hit other pedestrians, but or maybe I have that confused with last week's race.
Yikes. That guy just tore through the pits, huh?
He got fined by NASCAR.
Like a lot of money.
$50,000.
$50,000. That's and a
then,
real
but
number.
But they didn't even – okay, so they interviewed him. He went to the – he was racing Austin Dillon in the number 3 car.
Yep.
He bounced off Dillon and then ate the wall.
It's because he ran out of talent,
and that was that.
Yeah, he said it was not the number 3.
It wasn't the number 3's fault, but then Kyle Busch, Big Ed, what did Kyle Busch say in the interview? Well, when you run like shit, that's what happens. I'm like, uh-oh. He didn't get
fined. He sold his crew under the bus too.
Yeah. Oh, he said that, hey, even with all the sim work that we do, we still can't bring a fast car to the track. I'm like, wow, because we run like shit. He said that run like shit twice. And NASCAR kind of just let that go by. But, you know, when he was entering the garage area, another buddy of mine who's, he hit the cones, made people jump out of the way. Another buddy of mine who's a NASCAR fan is like, I think that was a big F you to NASCAR. Another middle finger, just like hitting the pace car, you know, 3-4 weeks earlier. So I don't know. Kyle Busch is Kyle Busch. Bad at it. No.
No, don't count him Roddy for nothing.
I don't think he makes it to the final four this year.
I think Trip Fink figured out the mic. It looks like his mic is green. Mr. Fink, speak.
Black, I know his mouse doesn't work like
that. Maybe not.
Big Ed, you might have to call and video him and see what's going on.
Folks, this is all real, happening live.
Live.
On a Friday night.
Makes it fun. Everyone just
warm beer and cheap seats.
Yep.
This makes you glad you have that warm beer.
Yep.
And makes you glad you're in the cheap seats because
you didn't pay a lot of money for it.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly.
So for dinner, Big Ed went to Grand Deli and Subs.
Oh, nice. Yeah, that's a nice little place.
Yeah. So Big Mike's never been privy to it and picked up some Deep River potato chips. They did those not have – those are great. You know what? They're out of that cheddar and horseradish. That's
wow, that sounds amazing.
That's the
all right, first off, I'm going to say this is how I describe those chips. Dude.
They're very good. Dude. See, the cheddar horseradish you're talking about?
Yeah. Oh, man, those chips are – I was like, please order more. They're like, we got them on order. I'm like, oh, thank God.
But, hey, we had the New York dill.
Yeah, we had New York spicy dill pickle chips. And then Maui onion chips.
The Maui onion chips, good, but the dill chips, bigger fan of. Yeah, they had a bolder flavor.
Yeah, for sure. Because they were like a spicy, almost like a garlic dill.
Yeah, now you tell me they were spicy.
Yeah.
I didn't read that part.
Now, the sandwich. We talked about the sandwich.
Oh, Big Ed, we did the same. We did the ultimate. Where it had every Italian cured ham and meat.
Ham or sausage of some sort.
Yes.
Delicious. Okay, number one. Here's number one.
Yes.
Cold cuts were cut thin. Number one, that was amazing. No thick cold cuts in my world. They need to be cut thin.
Well, first off, they cut to order. Folks, let me tell you, the secret to a good sandwich, you got to have the meat cut to order.
You mean not like Subway where it's pre-made and
– Yeah, if you're eating sandwich meat like that, then you're – I'm just sorry. You're garbage. You're a garbage person.
So the cold cuts were delicious.
Yes.
The bread – the hoagie roll.
The hoagie.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Had good chew to it.
Mm-hmm.
Fresh lettuce and tomato. It had a little garnish kind of gimmick on it.
And it did have a couple banana peppers on it. They did a really light oil, vinegar, salt, and pepper on it.
It was
well.
Good. Good
so
sandwich.
Compared to the calzone, what would you say?
Oh, this kicks the calzone's ass.
Calzone is the joke of the century.
No, it was all right. The calzone was okay.
It was very okay.
Listen, Pizza Bot will not die in vain.
You know what? And then the next day, last Saturday, I had to work at my place of business. And we had pizza for lunch, which was great. I love pizza. And we had Pizza Hut. Pizza Hut, not my favorite pizza outfit, but the pizza was pretty good. It's pretty decent. I appreciate a Pizza Hut every once in a while.
Right.
I especially like, I think their cheese, their like original hand-tossed cheese is pretty awesome.
That's funny. Their cheese is different now that you're saying it. On the personal pan, I feel like it tastes different and better.
You think so?
No, I never thought about it till now.
Now, I think Pizza Hut, their pan pizza is the star of the show.
Me too.
You know, if you're getting Pizza Hut, you got to get pan pizza.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No doubt. Although they're hand tossed, it's good. It's good. It has its place in the pizza hierarchy, the pizza pecking order, if you will. And I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it.
Hey, what's this lady's name? She looks like Morticia Adams' niece or something.
Oh, on the left?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's Becky Lynch. She's the man, dude.
No, she means
she
that.
Is a man.
No, the one.
Oh, you mean
on the left?
Yeah.
Becky
yeah.
Lynch.
No.
That's the left.
No, with the dark shirt on. I forget her name. Her.
Oh, her.
Who I think is hot, but she's
Sonya
she likes,
Deville.
Yeah, Sonya. I think Sonya she's Deville. Hot, Big Ed, but she likes girls.
She works as like.
I don't care.
She works as a like an official, if you will. But she
yeah,
she's.
I asked who Morticia Adams' niece was.
I was just thinking. I'm like, wait a minute.
Would it be the redhead?
Deville.
I think she's. I think she's hot. I really do. We talked about this a show or two ago. Too bad she wouldn't be. You know, she wouldn't be interested in me, but I would definitely be interested in her. So, definitely.
Looks like all right. Fix back on.
Who is hot? Who is hot, Big Mike?
Oh, there you go.
There
Trip
we go.
Fink.
Welcome back.
Hi, Trip Fink.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show. We got Trip Fink.
Live. Music extraordinaire.
What's your name, Case? Sonya Deville?
Sonya Deville.
Sonya Deville, Trip Fink, on WWE. She's very beautiful.
Not Fox. Yeah, you're good.
No. I was thinking Cruella Deville from 1001 Dalmatians or something.
Yeah, she's not. She's not hot. Not hot.
Yeah,
not
but
Cruella,
if
Cruella
this Deville was older, I could see it.
Yeah, but she's not older. She's probably
well, if you're into the cosplay thing, she's pretty hot.
That'd be a weird cosplay thing. Like the
Cruella. Well, she means business. She's wearing a suit.
She is wearing a suit. Nice suit.
For a man.
For a man, you know.
Becky Lynch is the man.
I'm teasing. I know. They're both the man.
Yeah, a man with no pool stick and balls.
So what's going on, everyone?
Hey. Not much. What's going on?
Just we're on take three for tonight.
Yeah.
But we figured out a connection, I think.
Good.
What did you figure out on your friend Trip?
On my settings in the Podbean app. I had
to share your microphone.
There. Yeah, I had the mic on.
Oh, yeah.
The mic was on in the picture. Like if I sent you that picture of the front of the screen, everything was on. I was on the line, my mic was on, but you know, it wasn't blacked out or crossed out, but
there are no holes in the wall in your office, are there?
Yeah, a couple.
I just want to make sure we're on the same. I'm talking to the same guy.
You know, Big Ed, I think that's the same thing that happened to our hockey expert. Is exactly what he's describing. You got to go back to the settings. So, we'll cross that bridge another day.
Yeah, if you don't have a dented file cabinet, you know.
Hey, Trip, you're a music guy, you know? I just thought of this. I just thought I got a music guy. I want to ask him a music question. So Foo Fighters put out a disco album. What's your hot take on that?
This current? Is this recently?
Yeah, like I think like 6 weeks ago it got released. It's like a cover of Bee Gees.
Did they cover a Bee Gees album?
Yeah. They pretty much did like – It's like a like an EP. It's like six songs.
See, the funny thing the funny thing is half comedy and half serious, but everything he touches is gold. So I mean, the guy put out a song, you know, doing a Mentos commercial, and it sells 100 million albums. You know, so you know, he's half a joke, right? But he's got, I mean, if anybody was going to write catchy tunes, this guy's got the hook of hooks. So,
look, he's a likable guy. That's what, you know, I don't think Foo Fighters are all that great, in my opinion. I think an average band, but they're filling a void that's out there right now. There's nothing going on.
I think the music industry's really jacked up. I think there's stuff out there that's good. It's just the median's changed so much that we don't get it the same way that we received music.
We consume it differently than what the way we used to consume music.
Well, yeah. I mean, first off, people release single. Generally, they're just release singles and not even albums. I mean, a majority of people. No. But
because they can just
for the record, David Crosby just put out another album.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it any good?
I don't know. I mean, he had a very cantankerous interview with a couple people. I heard him like, man, I mean, for him to be like 80 something, I mean, he's still a pretty angry guy. That's not a good way to live, man.
I didn't know that's what you were saying. I meant for
I dropped off there for a second, so I missed a little bit, but so I didn't hear what you said. I just said he's the hook master. I mean, this guy, he 10 albums of hooks. Nobody has 3 albums of hooks in them. You know, Big Ed and I have spoken about that. You know, the masters of rock at best have a 5 album run, generally speaking.
Sure.
With the very few exceptions to the rule. And 5 albums is it's a staggering amount of material to keep people's attentions over, 5 to 10 years. This guy has 30 years under his belt with just hook after hook after hook after hook. So again, I say, it doesn't matter what genre. He takes 3 chords. He could put it in country. He could put it in disco. He could put it in rock. He could put it in pop. And this guy writes great songs, period.
And he's likable. You know, I saw a video. He had a little girl on stage, and she played the drums to one of their songs, and she was masterful. He does stuff like that. I think that's why he's so likable. You know,
he's a really humble dude too. Because I mean, I watched a bit of his that special, that biography they did. It was like in 8 episodes or something.
They wrote a song
studio.
Each one, right?
Well, yeah.
Sonic Highways.
And he's just in his home studio.
Here's
a guy worth like $300 million and he's kicking back in his home studio like just like one of the guys still. You know what I mean? He's just a very down-to-earth, humble guy. I think that's pretty cool. And he never got caught up in the craziness, you know? His bandmates did, you know, Taylor did. He was a junkie for a long time. But I mean, he never really got caught up in the dope or in the, you know.
Well, I think crazy. Him being younger in Nirvana too, and then with Kurt Cobain, that probably like scared him straight. You know,
No doubt. I would think so. It's why Mick Taylor left the Stones.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Mick Taylor. Mick Taylor was 19 or 20 when he joined the Stones, maybe 21. And he's watching all the older guys, dope heads. Then he becomes a dope head, and he's like, "Oh no!" So he leaves the best gig in rock and roll after the best
puts them on the map.
After the best 6 years the Rolling Stones ever had in their career, and he goes, "No, I'm out."
Best music ever wrote.
Now think about that. You know what I mean? So it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, Mick Taylor put the Rolling Stones in Foreigner territory.
He just took them to a whole nother level.
Not that Mick Taylor.
I don't even get it.
No, Taylor and the Stones. He was the lead guitarist from 69 to 75.
Yeah, it was like Let It Bleed might be his last studio. Yeah,
he did Let It Bleed. He did Sticky Fingers, right? Exile on Main Street. It's Only Sticky Rock Fingers. And Roll. Goat's Head.
Oh, Some Women, right?
And yeah, I said Sticky Fingers. And then started to record for Black and Blue, but left, and Ron Wood stepped in. But he's the best of the Stones.
That's what it was. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and then Ron Wood came in Memory Motel and that kind of stuff. That was 75 on. But the number one selling album, ironically enough, of the Rolling Stones, very few people know this. I don't know. It's very weird. Is 1978's Some Girls. That's their number one selling album.
And it should be.
That's my favorite album of the Stones.
Yeah. I love Some Girls.
Right in the middle of the punk revolution and the disco, right in the middle of punk and disco, the Stones put out the best album ever. Now that's mind-boggling. But Foo Fighters just is one great hit after another, after another, after another, after another. It's really phenomenal.
Man, they just keep plugging along.
We saw them with the Stones at the Giant Stadium.
Did we see him in Tampa? I don't know who opened for him in Tampa.
In Tampa, in Living Color.
Okay, yeah.
Oh, the personality.
I don't remember any of their names now, but that dude can shred a guitar. That guy could play guitar.
Corey Glover.
Corey Glover is Danny Glover's son. He was the lead singer.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh. That dude shred.
But you're Big Ed, what you're referring to, it, the old Meadowlands, that was part of the Bridges to Babylon tour.
Right. That was Foo Fighters that opened for him.
Yeah. That was a big tour for them.
I loved Bridges to Babylon. I thought Saint of Me was up there with
that's a fun song.
Fantastic. And that's a Ron Wood song. Keith Richards didn't write that. That's a Ron Wood song. And I thought that was masterful. I think they should have ended on the chorus and ended with a punch rather than going back to the slow bridge and ending on the slow bridge. I think that was the only arrangement mistake of the song. But phenomenal, phenomenal lyrics from Jagger and just a fantastic hook in that too. And great weaving of the guitars there, the acoustic and the electric. Very cool.
Yeah. Is there any new music that's caught your eye lately?
No, I'll be honest with you, I don't focus on a lot of new music. Although when I'm in the car, I do listen to Sirius. I flip it around. I try to get some new music. I haven't heard new rock like I used to play or that I really enjoy. I haven't heard anything original in years. Now, maybe that's you're an old dude, you don't know what you're talking about. But honestly, I haven't heard an original band, not act and not lead singer. I mean, to me, the pop is all written by two duos in LA that write all the pop songs. So all the pop songs sounds alike because they're written by the same, couple of people that get all the publishing. So Ariana Grande and all that stuff, they all sound the same to me. And then the rock, again, I think the last band that I really paid attention to, believe it or not, was the one with the chick singer. Began with a P. Now, they're not new now, but what the hell is their name? Panorama or Pandora or something. I can't remember. I should look it up. Look that up real quick if you can, Mr. Ed. She's out of Nashville.
Paramore.
There you go.
Yeah.
And again, not new music, but I mean, that's like the newest I've gotten that makes any sense to me. I put on some of the rock stations on Sirius and it loses me. There's nothing original to me going on out there. Iron Maiden has a new album this month, which will be more original than anything.
Yeah, it sounds like Brave New World.
You know what I mean? Yeah, and that'll be more original than any rock band I've heard in the last 5 years, definitely.
Well, let me ask you, is there something you fell back in love with or rediscovering lately?
You know, ironically, it's only in the last 4 or 5 years that I listen to anything that I listen to any of my old stuff from the 80s. I have fallen back in love, honestly, with 70s Judas Priest. Oh, everybody knows Screaming for Vengeance and you know, Turbo Lover and
Painkiller,
Down to the Highway and all that, right? Even New Priest. I saw a new video from Priest. It was pretty cool. They were like in an attic or something with Halford singing. That was pretty awesome. But I mean, I just recently was speaking to my brother who's out in California, and I'm like, dude, you got to listen to Sin After Sin. You know, and it just kind of blew me away how here I was, you know, and I'm listening to Beyond the Realms of Death and that old 70s groove metal, because that's what it was. That's what I like to play. I like to play groove metal. I like to play, you know, something that has groove and then just adding the heaviness to it. And then having that heavy, soft dynamic, of course, that, you know, Nirvana took to the next level, but it started in metal, and that Beyond the Realms of Death and that crescendo, phenomenal to be able to bring out the solos that Tipton does and then bring it back down and then come back out really.
Trip, people don't realize that Maiden did 7 albums before Screaming for Vengeance. I mean, they had quite a catalog.
Priest.
What did I say, Maiden? Priest.
Yeah, I mean, 1974, they put out Rock and Roller, and you're talking about a whole new pop metal sound that really, I mean, Rock and Roller is more 80s metal than it is 70s metal. You know? It's crazy. But I miss, that's what I've really dived back to, I think, a little bit more. I really, and that in particular, that was a great question, because it's just only in the last couple of days when I was talking to my brother, I'm like, you got to listen to this and you got to listen to this. And he'd never heard this stuff before. So it was an introduction for him. But you know, when you take a Fleetwood Mac song like Green Manilician and then Priest does it and makes it their own, I mean, that was just phenomenal. And again, that's throwback stuff that I haven't listened to in years. Very cool stuff.
Yeah, I think it's always fun to kind of rediscover something that maybe you overlooked or, you know, I'm always interested in what people are kind of listening to, but even like just older stuff, maybe that someone turned them on to or they want to kind of go back to.
Well, you know what's funny?
There's a lot of music.
When I was a kid, there was a lot of music that came out, and I don't know if you guys can relate to this, but I wouldn't admit liking. Right? Because wearing an Iron Maiden, I'm wearing an Iron Maiden, you know, dirtbag denim jacket, right, with the longest hair in school. And then I was like, you know, this Police stuff is pretty good. You know what I mean? But it's not like I was shouting that from the mountaintops. You know what I mean?
That's because it was good.
Yeah.
He sounds a little needy, but
you know what I mean?
Catchy.
Or the Duran, or the Aha, you know, Take on Me or something, you know? All the one-hit wonders of the early 80s, you know?
I'll admit one from the early 80s that probably people didn't want to openly admit. I think Flock of Seagulls is a pretty tight band.
There you go. There's a perfect example. Perfect example. Even Men Without Hats, Safety Dance. I love that.
I saw Flock of Seagulls with John Cosgrove, the Mad Hatter.
Very cool. Very cool.
He got a drumstick. He still has it.
But I'll tell you something. There was no way I was going to admit liking Rio from Duran Duran. That just wasn't going to happen. I'd probably be taken out back, you know, behind the woodshed on that one. You know what I mean? They would have kept the car going at 65, and I would have hit the pavement. You know what I mean? I didn't do that anyway, but yeah. I mean, it would have been on purpose this time. You know what I mean?
Look, I used to hit the brakes in front of your house sometimes when I pushed you out.
Hey, Gyrodyne, I went off the hood a few times. I went off the hood more than once. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you put
it's all
you
part
put
of growing up.
Yeah, you put a couple of scratches in that baby.
That was a tough car.
I mean, tuck and roll, be a man about it. You know what I mean?
I'm telling you, that was the Nessaquag General Lee.
And you know what's crazy? The beer, not only did I not break it, I didn't even spill it, for Christ's sake. You know what I mean?
No.
Wait. I got a question for you guys, because last week was brought up was the movie Dazed and Confused. And the one scene always draws me is the one kid's got a Pontiac. I think it's like an old GTO.
Yes, there's a 70 GTO.
It's the one that Ben Affleck's driving.
No, and Affleck has
That was a Dart or something, or a Demon, something like that. Yeah, it was a Mopar.
But that had the trunk full of beer.
Yes.
Did you know guys that had trunks full of beer just driving around? Was that a thing?
Yes.
We put them in coolers. We'd put them in coolers. We'd have coolers.
No, literally, I would call up my friend Andy on a Sunday and go, come on, let's go drink and drive. Like, that's what you did. Because we'd just go, all right, let's go get a case of beer and drive around and listen to music.
Yeah.
And literally, it was like, come on, let's go drink and drive. And that's what you did. Hey, we'll go to Port Jeff. Hey, we'll go to Sable. Hey, let's hit the... And, you know, who wants to drive next? I mean, we had my buddy Neil had a 73 Nova. We took the couch seat out of the front, put a bucket seat in facing the back so you could party facing your friends. So the beer cooler was in the middle and you could face your friends. You know what I mean? And that's what forget seatbelts.
Seatbelts.
So it was like, yeah, let's go drinking and driving. That was actually an activity. You know, I'll meet you here. We'll get the beers, and then we'll – where are we going? Doesn't matter.
Actual thing to do.
Yeah. I mean, on my 18th birthday, I was driving my sister's VW Bug convertible with the top down. It was snowing out. I got Clay and Sean with me. I can't remember who else. I'm in a T-shirt and my maiden jacket, my denim jacket. That's it. And it's snowing out with the top down, and we're drinking beers. And we get pulled over in Setauket. And the cop's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, it's my birthday, dude, and we're cruising. Yeah. And he's like, listen, this car's not going anywhere for 3 hours. At least leave the car. You can't drive it. I'm going to come back and check on it. Okay, no problem. So we get out of the car, and I forget the name of the place. Down in Setauket, that little house that was a bar down at the bottom of the hill. So we just walked to the bar. So I was like, all right, we can't drive for a few hours. What should we do? Let's go to the bar. So we went to the bar, got more hammered.
Let's make it a few longer hours.
You know what I mean? I got it. 3 hours is up. We can go back to the car.
That happened to us on 347.
You know what I mean?
Wait,
then they nail me up on 25A, and they're like, dude, didn't we just tell you about 3-4 hours ago to not drive? I'm like, yeah, but you said don't drive for 3 or 4 hours. So I didn't. So he's like, well, what did you do? Well, I went to the bar. You know. Because that's what you did. You know what I mean?
Can't do that anymore.
What a life.
No. No, 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 no. God forbid. God forbid. And I'm not saying it was a good thing. I'm not saying it was a good thing, but I don't even know what teenagers do today. First of all,
teenagers, I guess they're
taking e-cigarettes off the market, so they don't even smoke cigarettes anymore, right? But I guess the big thing, and this is even crazier, because if I was a kid today, they're into, you know, for the past 10 years, or whatever, they've been into these opioid things, these pills and Oxycontins. That shit will kill you. I mean, look at the fentanyl deaths and everything. And I was not big into craziness like that. But, I mean, if that's what they're doing, to me, it's nuts. I'd rather have a six-pack and cruise. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm with you. I think they just changed their gender.
Bullshit. You would like a case of beer and cruise. A six-pack. That was a teaser.
Well, I was just talking to before we, you know, till we get to the bar.
It's talking metaphorically.
I mean, these kids today, they just want their Rick and Morty and then be binary, you know?
They want to hang out in their bedrooms and play video games. Or just look at their phone.
Yep. They don't even touch their own wee-wees.
Oh, my God.
Because they would
have denied that's they a have shout a out to the old Subway Slam that's supposedly somewhere. That's a trip. You're kind of out of the loop on that one, so we'll fill you in later. But
I'm gonna bet Mama Di is now peeing in her panties.
That's a medical problem. Call your local physician if you're peeing your pants right now.
No, because of what you said about Subway.
They make stuff to help you with that.
Yeah. Now, there are some side effects. You could get a skin rash, anal leakage.
Are those the side effects to our show?
Yes. So, Tripp, let me ask you, you were here last time, several months ago, and it was a great interview, and it's been a long time coming. And I was feeling that you may perform something tonight. Do you think you may be in the mood?
Let me see what I got.
Oh, shit. Here you go. You got about 4 hours?
No, I'll rip a. Let me just run up here. I don't want to lose the Wi-Fi. Hold on.
Can you lose the Wi-Fi?
Sure. Where'd it go? I lose the Wi-Fi all the time.
We lost the Wi-Fi today.
That's true. I got a couple jingles in me.
Jingles. Oh, all right.
I just heard them, I think.
That would be all exciting.
Let's see. You got to give me a little.
Oh, there we go. Are you sounding in tune?
You hear that sound all right?
Yeah, sounds great.
Yeah, it actually sounds tuned.
Children in the world.
first. Good job, Trip. That was
just
beautiful.
Just a little ditty.
On more beer in the cheap seats.
Yes.
Just a little ditty. Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Warm beer to cheap seat exclusive.
That's right. That's fantastic. That was awesome.
Very good.
Very awesome.
I haven't played that in a while, so I feel good about that one. I pulled that off.
I haven't heard that in 25 years.
Yeah, it's been a while, right? I wrote, this is what happened. We were rehearsing in a studio in Babylon. And what we used to do is half the rehearsal would be the songs we knew, right? And half the rehearsals would be a jam just to push our chops and to push ourselves as a band. We just throw stuff at each other and improv, right? So it was a half and half rehearsal. We were taking a break. And you guys might remember, I don't remember his last name, from Smithtown East, Doug. Doug used to work at the Shell station on 25A for 5 years. And Doug was playing bass, and he lit up a bone. And so we were passing the bone around, and he started playing the bass line from 5 to 1 from the Doors. And I didn't recognize it, so I laid up a riff over it that it doesn't come across in the acoustic. It goes like this. And so I'm laying this riff over what he thinks is 5 to 1.
Yep.
And then I just strum out the D chord and I start improvising lyrics. And I turn to him and we make the chorus, which was Freedom. So it wasn't written on acoustic. And we recorded our rehearsals. And I ended up going back and listening and writing down the lyrics, and they've never changed. So those lyrics were improvised. And it was off the bass riff of 5 to 1, but I added the guitar riff on top, and then we did the chorus, and it just came together. And again, the lyrics were completely improv, and then written down after the rehearsal because I didn't remember them, and that's how the song was written. Very strange.
It's funny how some things just come to you so quick.
You know, I have a few songs like that because the song's already in you. That's what people don't understand. They think you sit down and write a song. The song, for me, most of the time was already in me. I just didn't know how to put it on paper. And so, for example, I remember one night in Tampa, I'm partying and this, you know, and I grab an acoustic guitar and I play a song. And that's it. The song played itself. I wrote down the lyrics. It's never changed since. I've been playing that song since 1991. And although we never recorded it, I played it live when I used to play out acoustic. And again, it just came out of me. It just, boom, done. And that was it. Lou was a great catalyst in that regard with a song called Letter from a Friend. He wrote me a letter. And obviously that's where the title comes from. And then the first two lines he sent to me and said, you know, what do you think you can do around this? And it was just, again, I don't know how in tune I'm going to be here.
Oh, that was Don't Mind If I Sit This Round Out or something like that, right?
Yeah. And the song wrote itself. But Lou wrote the first two lines. It goes, I really don't mind if I sit this round out, things going on that I need to work out. And I read that, and the song was written, I swear to God, within 7 minutes from me reading that, I went, okay, boom. And I just finished the lyrics and the music showed up.
Thank you.
gentlemen, you're listening to Trip Fink here at Warm Beer and Cheap Seats. Fantastic. Fantastic performance, sir.
Thank you for letting me share.
Anytime. It's always a pleasure hearing you. And, man, I'm glad you're still playing.
I appreciate it. It means a lot, and it helps me keep my sanity. Lou turned me back on to playing. I had put it down for a long time, and Big Ed said to me, you know, there comes across your face a look of otherworldliness whenever you have a guitar in your hand. And he gifted me with a beautiful Martin. And and it's true. I go somewhere else, and
it has such a beautiful sound too.
It just takes me. You know, it's like the old 70s Calgon commercial. Take me away, Calgon. But for me, it really is true. You know, there were shows I played, and not necessarily because I was ossified, but there were shows I would play. I played that I literally would open. And then I remember opening the show, and I remember closing the show, but I couldn't tell you what happened in between.
Just
totally transported. And then listening back to the tapes, I'm like, I have no idea how I did that. I mean, there were guitar licks I played that I'm like, I have no idea what I was doing. Okay. But that's from, you know, that's where I go. It's not a preconceived thing. I was given an interview once to the Long Island Ear, and the journalist was going, you know, I wanna. That was an incredible act. You know, that what an act you guys put on, such an act. And this is how he was asking me to interview me. He goes, I wanna do an interview with you. That was such an incredible act, because he had walked into the Artful Dodger and. Comac or wherever the hell it was, and we had played a show there, and he didn't expect us. He didn't know we were playing there. He came to see River Styx, and I said, dude, the interview's over. And he goes, what do you mean the interview's over? And I go, if you don't understand that the 1 hour I'm up there is me, and the other 23 hours a day, that's the act, then you don't get it.
Wow, that's heavy, dude.
Damn.
That's heavy. I dig
that. That's not the act. That's me. The rest is the act, bro. But when I'm up there, that's me. That's the Blood Eagle, you know? That's it. I'm pulling out. I'm pulling it out, and I'm like Jagger said, you know, pull my heart out and throw it right on the stage. That's what it's about for me. They're my lyrics and my songs, and I'm singing them from my soul. I can't give you any more than that, you know, and the rest is bullshit to me.
Yeah.
Gentlemen, thank you. Good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Be safe.
Cheers. Yes,
baby. Thank you.
Thank you, Tripp.
You're awesome. Always we'll talk soon.
Be good.
Yeah, buddy. We'll be in touch.
Ladies and gentlemen, what a night here on War Beer and the Cheap Seats.
Yeah. I mean, we had a first live music.
Live musical performance.
Yes.
That was amazing.
What a treat.
Sweet Melissa, speechless over here.
So that was great. I it's good to have music.
Yeah. Well, you know, I wanted to say something and, you know, I didn't want to make him, but he was just talking about playing. But him playing, I think, makes us better, you know, because he's given us that art.
Yeah.
You know.
For sure.
Yeah. So.
A piece of him. Trip Fink gave us a piece of him tonight.
And we are better for that. And that's what art does. So.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah.
So what do we got next? I mean, this is a tough act to follow now.
Well, I all right.
We got
No. There's not, it's only a tough act to follow if you're Florida man, because now we have Florida woman.
Who is not even a native Floridian.
Yes.
But she did our state proud.
Yes. She was a true native masshole and showed her ass literally here in Florida.
On a golf cart.
All right, so
in her birthday suit.
In her birthday suit. So in now if you've read the story, you're probably reading it Dunedin. Listen. It's not Dunedin, folks.
No. It's Dunedin.
It's Dunedin. Just think like, hey, would you like to have another hot dog? No, thank you. I'm done eating. Dunedin. Yeah, that's how they pronounce it. Canadians, our Canadian friends of the show know Dunedin because home of the Blue Jays.
That's their spring training home.
So this lady ruined a place that I like. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. All right. First off, when I saw the story, I was just thinking, Newport Richie keeping it weird. Because it had all the signs, because we have the golf cart gangs. The golf cart street gangs.
Hold on. Wait a minute.
Oh, dude, they got the collars and everything. Their tats and they're riding around. Are you serious? Getting a little older. Hell's Angels ain't as young as they used to be.
So they need four wheels, not two?
That's right.
I want one.
So, this lady, there was a shootout with the police and a suspect. And this lady
rode her golf cart
in the middle of the shootout.
Correct. What? Through a police line.
What?
She was intoxicated. They said they could smell the booze.
Yes. And she was completely naked.
All right. So let me ask you this.
Older,
how does this happen? She's
younger.
Well, younger. She's younger than we are.
I mean, she's a whiskey bottle with arms. That's what she was.
Older. Epstein would be like way old.
But for the rest of his normal people, it's younger.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So how does this – okay, let's –
this would be like a scene in a comedy, like a weird comedy.
So what made her – she's naked as the day she was born, hops on a golf cart. What do you think? She heard the shootout.
Yeah.
Is this how let's play this out. She heard the shootout. She was
– And then she goes like, hey, drinks. Shootouts make me hot. I'm taking my clothes off.
That peace would begin and the shootout would end.
It's like, I need to investigate this so I can talk about it tomorrow.
Hop on the golf cart. Rides through a police line. And in the article, the police told her, lady, stop. Lady, no, you're in a police line. Go back. She would not listen. I don't know if it was Sheriff's Department or Dunedin Police Department. I don't remember.
Doesn't matter. You're still in trouble no matter what.
You're in trouble. And they arrested her.
Naked.
Drunk. On a golf cart.
I wish I could find that recording somewhere.
So... how does that happen?
Blame it on the alcohol.
I still bet there's one cop that was on the scene that had an off-color joke. Be like, I'd like to smell the seat there, you know.
I guarantee you there's an off-color joke.
That's yucky.
I don't know.
These jokes practically write themselves, you know. She gets the Benny Hill slap.
I mean, just when you thought Florida man... you know, had the market cornered. Now we're a Florida woman. You know, this could be a thing.
This one's going to be a hard one to top. This tops the hamster wheel guy. Hamster wheel Florida man.
Yeah.
Makes him look like an asshole.
Like a big, like a nobody. Like a big pussy.
Yes.
Like a big fucking pussy.
This lady had her pussy on display.
Yes. She's like, you're a pussy, and I got the pussy.
I mean, even the Gators were accomplished, the one that made it up to Massachusetts. I mean, come on.
No, because she told someone to hold her beer as she drove off.
Watch this. Hold my beer. Watch this.
Hold my white claw as she drove off in her golf cart.
Wait, huh? Oh, I never mind.
Yeah. And that was the point when Sweet Melissa got what we were talking about.
Wow. I wish I was there for this.
Me too.
I'm just glad it happened and not Newport Richie. I got a little nervous.
Newport Richie.
When I read the headlines, I was like, oh, Jesus, here we go again. I mean, we took a beating with that cop TV show.
Cop TV, yeah. It's,
you know, Sweet Melissa, help me out. What was that?
Live PD.
Live PD.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Woo!
Yeah, that
woo! That hey! That man, Moon Lake, man. It was all on Moon Lake. That's it, man.
Moon Lake's a scary, a bad place.
Oof.
That's the
little sketch.
That's
a little sketch.
The sketchy of the sketch. That's the trashy of the trash. Sorry, yep. Moon Lake listeners.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
no, they're not listening. They're too busy talking to law enforcement.
Yes, explaining themselves. But officer.
You know, I believe we spoke briefly on take two and more in take one was that Subway Slam is supposed to be at SmackDown.
He's at SmackDown right now.
That's what I hear. I mean, I'm looking for him. I'm looking for him to come out on the show. I have a feeling he might be one of the dark matches.
He could be.
I bet he tag teams with Cena.
Against Brock Lesnar?
Yeah, against Brock Lesnar. And,
who do you think Lesnar's tag teaming with?
Sami Zayn.
Okay.
Yeah, you know.
That'd be a good tag team.
Two heels, two faces.
What if it was the ultra masculine gentleman?
Oh, no. He would never... you know, no, he would never tag with a.
Hey, who's that?
Wait, hey, Melissa, go see who's at the door.
Oh, what? Because I'm a girl?
Yes. No, because you're closest to the door.
Got it. Hello?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're just talk about the Subway Slam. I see he just dipped out on the. War beer in the cheap seats yet again. He's saying he's going to run around, run wild at SmackDown. I just don't see it happening. Subway Slam, you got nothing on the ultra-masculine gentleman. I'd like to see you here so I can rip you from limb to limb.
Wow, ultra-masculine gentleman, that's kind of graphic.
He just gets my blood boiling, brother.
But it's Subway Slam. He's a nice guy. He's running for, you know, governor of New York. How could you be angry at a guy like that, ultra-masculine gentleman?
The only thing he's running from is a fight, because he's not a man.
Wow, are you calling him out, ultra-masculine gentleman?
I'm calling him out. I want to see him in the ring.
Wow. Where do you want to see him? What town? When can we see this man?
Come down to Tampa. I'll see you here. Because if you were the man, you would just rise to the top. And I'm the cream of the crop. And the cream always rises to the top.
Subway Slam, you heard it right here on Warm Beer and the Cheap Seats. Ultra-masculine gentleman. Just called you out for a match here in Tampa. So this is Big Mike coming at you. I want to hear from you next week, Subway Slam. What's your answer? What's your answer to the ultra-masculine gentleman? He's called you out. He called you down here. He wants you in the ring. Do you have the cojones? Are you ready?
That's a pretty intense guy.
He is.
Yeah.
So
he must lift.
He does lift. Haven't you seen him? He's got like big muscles
big.
And
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the last time I answer this door.
So anyways, gang, tune in next week because hopefully we get Subway Slam's take on all this.
Yeah.
It's pretty. We get some really, really interesting people that pop in here at Studio C.
Yes.
How do they find us?
The interwebs. Or... they can find us at Twitter, at Beer Seats, which I tweeted a nice cool picture of a vintage Chrysler wagon.
The Chrysler wagon pulling the F1 car.
Towing an F1 car through Munich. What beautiful shots, whoever took those anyways. But don't worry, they got credit because I just shared it. You could see who took the picture. So settle down, interwebs. Or you can email us at the show at warmbeerandacheapseats.com, or you can just reach us directly on our website at warmbeerandacheapseats.com.
Reach out to us, folks. Yeah. Tell us what you like. Tell us what you don't like. We'll even answer you on that one.
Just don't call us in the middle of a bet because I'm not answering.
Yeah. We are professionals, don't you know? Even though we're not paid to do this, we're professionals.
We're professional acting.
We're professionally
knuckleheads.
Yes. So.
Well, I guess we're getting to that time. Yeah. Oh, I do want to mention one thing before we get into the big main event. You know, I've been watching a lot of reality TV and up late and the Chrisley family. You have Chrisley Knows Best. He's the realtor.
I've only seen a few minutes of the show. I think
he's based out of Nashville.
Yeah.
And then he's got the kids.
He's very flamboyant. I'm surprised he has children.
Yeah, well, you know,
he's from Atlanta.
Oh, he's in Atlanta. Oh, the kids moved to Nashville, I think.
Right, he made his fortune in Atlanta.
Yeah. But then the kids have one of the daughters and the son have a show, Growing Up Chrisley. I thought the show would be funnier if it's an animated and they're a family of gophers because, Jesus Christ, their teeth are as big as gophers.
Big, white, shiny teeth?
Well, yeah, they all have fucking veneers, of course. Like, no one has teeth that fucking big on your ass.
Why would you want big teeth? Why do you want normal?
Did you notice all their bedposts are kind of like gnawed down and stuff? So they must be part of woodchuck or something.
Yeah. I think it would be a funnier show if you animated it and you just made it like fucking like some woodland animal. Like a beaver, a woodchuck.
Any woodland animal would be great.
But a woodland animal with big teeth. I think would be a dynamite. Like, it would put Rick and Morty on the fucking run because they're like, how do they come up with this shit? You're like, I don't know, you know.
Somebody might steal this idea.
That's all right. If they're stealing my idea, I have more ideas, but I have more ideas than them. So feel free to steal my ideas.
How are you going to get paid on your ideas?
I'll eventually get paid.
Okay. You think so?
I know a guy.
Who knows a guy?
Yeah, so.
Yeah, but he's got to know the guy with the check.
Yeah.
Not the rubber checks, though.
All right, look, for the record, I called the Trae Young thing showing up at WWE.
You did pretty good.
I did. That's because someone, WWE's been listening to us, obviously.
That'd be cool. Hey, WWE person listening to us.
Maybe something.
Drop us a line.
Yeah, drop us a line. You know, we could help you against AEW because they're gonna get you on the ropes for a while, man. They signed everybody. They're gonna sign Kevin Owens, is the rumor. He's gonna leave WWE and go to AEW.
They must be throwing some big money out there.
Yeah. But for wrestling fans, don't worry. That just means we're going to get a better product.
The Big Ed chimes.
You know, just like the ultra-masculine gentleman, the cream rises to the top, you know, like what he had said before.
Yeah. He said a lot.
He's a pretty intense dude. So we heard multiple chiming, so that can only mean we're getting close to – well, I have no audio effects.
Oh, wait.
Yeah, we do, maybe.
Well, you know.
This browser sucks dick.
Hey, we're on a shoestring budget.
It's
Big Ed's Rock and Roll Retrospective.
Countdown.
Take it away, Big Ed.
Thanks, guys. Been a great show so far. Really good to hear Trip Vink again playing guitar. We're still continuing down the Big Ed's top 40 must-haves. Yes. Let's recap. Last week, we said number 25 was Iron Maiden's Peace of Mind. Number 24, Pink Floyd Animals. 23, Rolling Stones, Their Satanic Majesty's Request.
Number 22, Led Zeppelin, Physical Graffiti. And 21, Highway Robbery, the best band you've never heard of. So this week, we're starting to get into where the air gets thin. So we're going to start out with Jimi Hendrix, Cry of Love, 1970. Released months after Hendrix's death in 71. Some call it a compilation. Others call it authentic. And yet others will argue it was authorized. I say this is my favorite Hendrix album. 5 of the 10 tracks were ready for print, while the other 5 were finished in mix and overdub with some new parts. A first for Hendrix. It's the first time music was layered and dubbed. Mixed by engineer Eddie Kramer and drummer Mitch Mitchell, with tracks like Astro Man, who was born inside of a dream just yesterday, Easy Rider and Freedom. Not a dead track and a whole lot. If you want to know what Hendrix was about, check out this juggernaut by Hendrix. Mitchell and Billy Cox round out this trio. This will leave you wanting more. You could definitely see the direction Hendrix was heading with this music. This actually was a platinum album. It sold 2 million copies. Number 19, Guns N' Roses, Appetite for Destruction. Really needs no introduction, but still, 1987. The stars aligned for 5 addicts starving for food and shelter to put out one of the best debut albums of all time. When you hear Slash's signature battle cry for Welcome to the Jungle, you're in for 53 minutes of raising hell on the Sunset Strip. My Michelle, about a dysfunctional girl, grew up in a porn-working dad and a dead addict mom. Welcome to the Jungle on how the Strip will just eat you alive. From Duff McKagan's killer bass riffs to the swag of Steven Adler and Slash, well, need I say more, and Axl's pipes. This makes this one of the premier albums of its day, selling over 30 million copies. Number 18, The Big Wreck, Pleasure and the Greed, 2001. This is another personal favorite of mine. Not much noise from the group, it seems, and I do not understand why they're not as big as they are. This sophomore album is such a big endeavor. It has 16 tracks on it, 66 minutes of music. No one does this, ever. Great alternative rock resembling Cornell-type vocals with Ian Thornley and Bonham-esque drumming by Forrest Williams keeps these guys in the pocket. The songs vary with ballads to a banjo rhythm on Ladylike to heavy rockers like West Virginia. I enjoy this so much. Not a dead track in a lot and flows with these 16 songs. Really tough to do to get 16 songs to jive together. It just really blends into a surprising listening experience. Number 17, The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, nice. In 1967. Yeah. Real trendsetter. They really raised the bar in writing music. It got the Beach Boys, the Stones, everybody on board with writing some really good music. It spent 27 weeks at number one in the UK and 15 weeks at number one on the US Billboard. It was lauded by critics for its innovations in songwriting from start to finish, a journey of ear candy. It's an autobiographical recollection of the collaborative youth of the Beatles seen through the eyes of the fictional character Sgt. Pepper. With vaudevillian twists and sounds, it tells a story. Another atomic hit of a release during the summer of love. With tracks from Fixin' a Hole to Lovely Rita sandwiched between Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. And when you think it's over, A Day in Your Life comes at you with a dreamlike sequence type sound and lyrics. Makes this a must-have for any collection. This raised the bar for music writing. And number 16, Motley Crue, Dr. Feelgood, 1989. I remember the first time I heard this song, it was a late night, drinking, watching MTV with Dan DiNardo. The opening bass riff, almost as iconic as the one from Welcome to the Jungle. The whole album is about drug dealers, cheating death, and cheesy ballads. Don't get mad, just walk away. This album charted at Billboard's 200, number one, sold 6 million copies to date. Great tracks on here. Kickstart My Heart, Slice of Your Pie, Rattlesnake Shake. A great flow and some good rock and roll. If you have 45 minutes to kill, I suggest you put this on at full tilt and you will meet your neighbors. That is my next 5 for the week.
Nice. There you have it.
Very good.
Yeah, they were tough to pick. They weren't hard to pick, but now I have 15 left. Yeah.
You're getting to the nitty gritty, man.
Yeah, and then I might have like a list of 10 overflow that I'll just rattle names without any description. Oh my God, a Petey alert. I haven't seen Petey in 3 days. He's getting
I wonder what Petey's doing. Is he on vacation?
I don't know. He found the spot behind the log he really likes, I guess.
Maybe he's dropping a log.
Yeah, could be.
Anyway, the list, this was fun to do this week. I listened to a lot of good music this week, and these are just in no particular order.
No, that's fine. A Cry of Love, the Jimi Hendrix Astro Man. I love that song. That's a song that just I wish it got radio play.
That lyrics are crazy. I was born inside a dream just the other day. His mind fell out of his face and the wind blew it away.
That's yeah, crazy. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he wasn't tripping at all. And
the guitars are just so crazy in it, man. That whole song just shows how far ahead of his time he was.
Yeah, I mean it's definitely setting the tone of what I think was to come.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because this was really the first time where they really laid down tracks, and you know, a lot of his stuff was just recorded live, like one or two takes. You know, like Electric sure. Ladyland was just yeah. you know recorded live. After usually it was after clubbing,
right?
You know,
right.
This was
right,
a real.
Right.
I there was an interview I just read not too long ago in Louder Sound about Hendrix saying he felt like he had nothing else to offer, you know, like he had nothing else to live for. This is months before he died, which is kind of ironic. He said the only thing I'd live for is maybe a wife and kids. He felt like he had nothing left musically, and then you listen to Cry of Love. I'm like, dude, you're full of shit. Things fucking rocked.
Well, it just shows you how much they you know, some of them young artists got burnt out because of drug abuse, you know, and addiction, and you know, no one knew about it. But I mean, that you know, Jim Morrison was saying the same thing, and he puts out L.A. Woman, you know, even in my generation with Nirvana, Kurt Cobain was saying that, and he put out In Utero, which was fantastic rock album.
Yeah, I remember Jim Morrison quoted saying, not bad for four guys that weren't talking to each other, you know?
Yeah.
Same with the Beatles, Let It Be. That was another, there were four guys that weren't talking to each other either, and they put out, you know.
I mean, all right, Appetite for Destruction, possibly one of the greatest debut albums in the history of rock and roll.
I think so. I can't think of one that's.
You know, I mean
they're was, you know, they're This is I mean, not so, at all.
I mean, that album possibly has like what you could list as 12 singles in there. Every single song could have been a radio hit if they wanted it to be.
There were five singles that charted.
I know, but I mean,
Sweet Child of Mine.
There's not a dead song. That is for a debut album. There's not a dead spot in that whole album.
Michelle, that thing was wicked, that song. And then to close out with Rocket Queen. Oh.
Can you imagine being in the Sunset Strip in LA in the 80s watching them playing the clubs while they're trying to record this album? They must have been insane to watch. All right, yes.
Yeah, especially like five guys living in a one bedroom eating, you know, canned beans and
yeah,
living off the generosity of groupies, you know. Actually, in Rocket Queen, they recorded Axel having sex with one of the girls, and those moans in there are real moans of her getting plowed.
Yeah.
Yes, Melissa, sorry, that's life.
It's art and music.
Yes.
Yeah.
With a little DNA splashed in there.
I love that you brought in the big wreck, man. That's like the underdog snuck in there. That's such a good album.
Great album. Jeez.
I love it. It was such an ambitious project. You're like, all right, first album's pretty good. And then they come out with like a 16, 17 track second album.
16 tracks, 66 minutes. That's
balls, dude. That's balls to come out like – hey, you know what we're going to do? Hey, Mr. Radio Executive, we're going to have you produce a 16-track album for us. And it was awesome. It was an awesome album. I agree.
It really charted well in Canada. Didn't do too well here. I don't know what.
Yeah, you know what?
I heard he was difficult. I knew somebody in Tom Kordiak, a guy I worked with in Cleveland. He was a musician.
Yeah, yeah.
And he said he was just a dick. I don't know.
There's some guys in music. Unfortunately, they're their own worst enemy. It's like talking yourself out of a sale. But
yeah,
but you know, there was a lot of stuff in that era of like payola going on, and so you know they might have been priced out of the market. I don't know, priced out of the market's the right way to say it, but
they're every bit as good as Soundgarden, in my opinion. Their drummer was great. It was like you could hear like John Bonham influence in and they were really a tight group, you know.
Yeah.
Even Thornley's solo, the name escapes me, but it sounds just like, you know, his style is so unique. I mean, his guitar work, because his vocal and guitar are one and the same, like with him, you know? So you do a solo album like Jerry Cantrell, his solo album sounds very much like Alice in Chains.
Oh, yeah, that brings me to a point. Like, Tripp Fink, he's never listened to Alice in Chains.
He sounds like a lot of people rolled into one and very unique to me.
You know what? You know what's missing? Letter of the Friend is Drew and Mike Chasty, the drummer. Because his fills in that song, Letter to a Friend, were iconic at that time for those guys. Frank met him. He was a Pink Floyd tribute drummer. So he's very regimented, you know. What's it called? Tasty Chasty. His name is Mike Chasty.
No.
That was the drummer, yeah. Yeah, that song sounds really good plugged in.
So when you mentioned Sgt. Pepper's, and that's such a great album.
I mean, I could talk an hour. It's tough to throw an iconic album in there and not spend, you know, I wanted to do 2 minutes on each one, you know, but I could spend a lot. I could have spent a lot more time on Dr. Feelgood because there's just so much good music on that. And there were some tracks. There was some tracks with Steven Tyler singing back in vocals. Bob Rock, who was the producer, played bass on some of it, and he did backing vocals. There are a lot of who else? Brian Adams. There's a whole slew of celebrities on the
Dr. Feelgood.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So that brings me to all right. So Sgt. Pepper's.
Yeah.
So Sgt. Pepper's created, like you said, an explosion of music, of creativity, and Paul McCartney had said it was from listening to Beach Boys' Pet Sounds.
Yes.
That was their response to Pet Sounds. And, you know, therein lies where you had musicians that were fans of musicians that were just kind of in a way like inspired by each other and kind of up in the ante a little bit.
Yeah, it was competitive, you know?
Yeah.
Then you had the Monkees, you know, sure, with Headquarters, and then the Stones with their Satanic Majesty's Request.
Absolutely, and then Pink Floyd doing whatever Pink Floyd was doing at that time. You know, Piper's at the Gate of Dawn. So, all right, Bob, you mentioned a rock producer. See, I used to buy sometimes albums just based on who is the rock producer. I would just not even look at the band. I would look at albums and, like, who's the producer? Because some guys were just so consistent in creating a sound or like eliciting talent. Bob Rock was one. Bob Rock went from working with Motley Crue, creating this polished sound on Dr. Feelgood. And his next project was Metallica, the Black Album, which Enter Sandman, The Unforgiven. I mean, it goes on and on. I mean, Metallica changed forever from just like an indie road dog.
He went to a band that
got played on the radio and could just fill out arenas. you know?
Yeah, because he also, before Motley Crue, he did Aerosmith's, not Pump, the one before it.
Permanent Vacation.
And if I'm not mistaken, I believe he was back on again for Pump.
Yeah.
Let's see. He did stuff with Bon Jovi, Metallica. Let's see.
Bob Rock was like
Bryan Adams, Offspring, Michael Bublé, David Lee Roth.
Oh, hey, Gigolo.
Just the Gigolo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I wrote a song.
You did.
Yeah, I did. I wrote a theme song for Meet the Press. But they, you know, I was like, look, you got to get the kids. You get people interested. They end up passing on it, but I'd like to at least sing a little of it for you guys if you'd like.
Well, sure. Go ahead. This is like the musical episode.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, this again was the theme song for Meet the Press. Meet the Press. Greet the press, come on out and meet the press.
That's funny. It sounds a lot like meet the Mets.
Step no.
Meet the Mets.
No. That was just a coincidence.
Just a really. Coincidence, yeah.
Yeah.
That was the Mets theme back in WOR days.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Well, you know, while the Mets might finish with a better record with the Yankees and the Tampa Bay Rays, they just keep winning. They're like 9 or 19 games ahead. We have possibly the best baseball player in all baseball playing in Tampa. We are the sports city, back-to-back Stanley Cup champions.
Yep.
Reigning American League champion, reigning Super Bowl champion. We're
pretty good.
We are the center.
I got to find an article from John Cantillo, my buddy in Hawaii, and they printed the wrong box scores on Wednesday. Uh-oh. They had like the Red Sox in first, the Rays in second, the Yankees in third. And this was not even from this year. So I have to I meant to save that for you. So somebody really effed up on the Honolulu local newspaper.
Uh-oh. That's not good. We're going to have to book him, Dana.
Book him, Dana.
Well, you know.
With a Hawaii 5-0 theme, I think this is where we exit.
Yeah.
This is where we go downhill.
This is where we go downhill.
This is where the steam runs out.
Yes. Well, you know, when you try to do the show four times in a night,
the first three times don't work. The first two were botched. But that's okay.
They were fun still.
So, what do we got? This is where we exit.
This is where we exit. Any final words, anyone?
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Exit. Stage left. Even.
Sweet Melissa, any words?
You guys are awesome.
You're very kind.
All I'm going to say is thanks for listening. Be good.
See ya.